Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture, and this is going to be our starting point of, actually this is going to be the first sermon for the teen camp out this morning, and so we're diverting off of Daniel, and our theme for the camp out, teen camp out this year is kind of a little play on words, but do you have Jesus or do you have religion? Now, I know the Bible uses the word religion in a good sense. Pure religion, undefiled before the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. But we are going to use the word religion in the sense of a profession of some kind of faith in God. A mere profession, not a possession, but a profession. Do you have religion or do you have Jesus? There's a huge difference. Of course, eternity is at stake. For those who have religion, they'll spend eternity lost. Those who have Jesus will spend eternity in heaven. But a descriptive picture here of the difference between religion and Jesus is found right here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the secondary title of this message is Transformation versus Confirmation. Transformation versus confirmation. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, much of religion today is conforming. And it's just an outward show of some kind of confirmation to whatever kind of religion people have. And actually, this is it is amazing to me. It is really amazing to me what unsaved people will do. It is really amazing to me. It's also amazing to me what they won't do, but it's amazing what they will do. I'm amazed at the Mormons, how they will wear holy underwear. I mean, I'm just amazed at that. That's just ridiculous. You know? I'm amazed at how people will conform to whatever they are doing. It, to me, is just amazing what people, how they will, conform to whatever they need to conform to get along. But actually, the Bible tells us, uses this play on words to speak of a great difference between knowing Jesus Christ and religion. And I like to think about that. Now, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And really, this is a theme throughout the Bible. It's the theme of sanctification. And notice, let's go to a few places in the Bible. We'll talk about that. let's go to John chapter 17. The difference that it makes when you have Jesus Christ and you have the new birth and you have the Holy Spirit living in your life. And Just like to point out some important truths here that emphasize these different things. Okay, John chapter 17. Okay, first of all, let's look at verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. What brought about the change in their life? It was the word of God. And it was an obvious outward change. The result was the world hated them. Notice it says, verse 16, they are not of the world. They don't have a birth of the world. They have a birth from heaven. It says, even as I am not of the world, I'm from heaven. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. The word sanctify, of course, means to set apart from that which is evil and to set apart oneself unto exclusive use for God. Sanctification is separation. Is obvious truth here. But notice the picture here. There's a change that's taking place. The change is taking place because of a birth, and it's through the agency of the Word of God. That's transformation. That's transformation. And the Bible describes Christianity, real Christianity, as an ongoing transformation that is taking place in a person's life who has been saved, and it's a transformation that is centered around the ministry of the Word of God, the work of the Word of God in their life. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Read that today. And here's talking about transformation. It says, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A transformation. It says there's a putting off of the old, things of the old man, and there's a putting on of a new man. And the center point is what? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the ministry of the Word of God. Through the Word of God, there's a continual change taking place in a person's life. The Bible calls it a transformation. It is because a person has truly been born again, there is a transformation that is taking place. It's rooted in the renewal that comes through the Word of God in a person's life. Now let's go to a couple other places. Let's go to Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, let's talk about that word blessed. That word blessed refers to a picture of the working and the flowing of God's Spirit and God himself in a person's life. And it says that this person who has God working in their life. Oh, we're talking about transformation, aren't we? God working, blessing, intervening, doing something. And it says, what is that person? It says, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's talking about transformation of a life. And the vehicle is the Word of God. And the Word of God is producing a change and doing a God is working in that life through the Word of God. Ephesians says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. John says, sanctify them through thy word. It's the Bible doctrine of sanctification. John chapter 14. Verse 23. I like the verses ahead of that. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and that ye in me, and I in you. Wow. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye have here is not mine, but the Father which he sent me. Notice again, the work of God in a person's life. And salvation is a living relationship with a living God. Wow. If you keep my commandments, if you love me, he will keep my words. How can a person even keep his words if he doesn't even know what they are? He that loveth me keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Notice the transformation. Notice the spiritual work that is taking place. If he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice the work of God in the life. And the work of God centered around Jesus living in our lives and ministering to us and in us and through the Word of God in our lives. A real transformation. Jesus means having a living relationship with a living God. That's transformation. Confirmation is just going through motions. That's amazing how people, they take on the flavor of this church when they go there, and they take on the flavor of that church when they go there, and whatever that church says is okay, they do it, and whatever church says, this church says is okay, they might do it or they might not. Just church. Just religion. Just religion. It's not God. It's not a living God. Not a living relationship. It's not transformation. It's confirmation. That's not salvation. Salvation is a living relationship with a living God. It's taught throughout the Bible. There is no other thing such but that. As you think about it, now we're going to get into some specific details. We have a little bit of a description. Ephesians calls it putting off and putting on. But let's look at some details. First of all, notice the context, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The song the men sang this morning, to give my life to you is all that I can do. Oh, all that I can do. Normal. Normal. Now let's see it. Right here we have the great difference between transformation and confirmation. The difference between Jesus and religion. With Jesus, the normal is to surrender your life as a living sacrifice. It's reasonable. It's normal. But in religion, that's kind of extreme. That's kind of extreme. You know what I mean? Kind of extreme. And you know what? That's exactly how some people here think. Extreme. Oh, my question to you, do you have Jesus or do you have religion? The songwriters from times past says, to give my life is all that I can do. That's normal. Your reasonable service. Normal. It's normal. It's the real thing. I want a question. You know, the details. Do you have Jesus or do you have religion? Do you have Jesus or do you have religion? A living relationship with a living God. I hope you'll take this seriously. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of Baptists in hell. There's going to be a lot of Baptists and evangelicals who are saved that they look more like religion than Jesus. Notice, though, it says, now, details. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We see here a whole contrast. Transformation is something that takes place on the inside. And it shows itself on the outside. Notice Ephesians 4, renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the inside. It's the work of God. It's the work of the Word of God in a person's life. It changes their thinking. And there's two results. There's the putting off of the old man, and there's the putting on of the new man. The Bible calls it sanctification. But that's the Christian life. But notice the contrast. And be not conformed to this world. Actually, the word world is a very unique word because it's the word ionios, which refers to the sum total of thinking and morals of the world at any particular time. Be not conformed to this world. You know what that means? That a outward conforming to the thinking and the morals of this world. That's the picture. We have the contrast, the influence from the inside versus the influence from the outside. Isn't that amazing? What is your source of impact on your life? What is the source, young person? You consciously conscious of the outside world? What people think? Or is there a working that's taking place inside your heart? The renewing of your mind because of the work of God through His holy living word. Wow. There's a tremendous contrast. Is it inward influence? Versus an outside influence. Its influence of truth versus the darkness of this world. Psalm 19. Descriptive phrase about the Christian life, about salvation. I love these descriptive phrases. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What brings about changes? Truth. I've given him thy word. I've given you my word, and because of that, the world has hated you. You know, confirmation is, oh, I want the world's acceptance. I want to fit in. I want to fit into their value system. But do you see it? Transformation is a real, live working of God that's taking place in a person's life. And the change is a continual change. It's a continual change brought about by the Word of God. You know, here's the problem. The problem is, this is what I see. The problem is, much Christianity, even Baptists, you know, they reach a certain point, that's it. That's it. You know, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with those that do, something like that. You know, that's their whole, they've arrived. You know what I mean? They've arrived. Just religion. Is that what the Bible describes? Turn with me to Philippians 3. Again, this is talking about Jesus versus religion. Paul describes what he had in religion. Then he says it's nothing. It's manure in comparison to knowing Christ. And then he talks about this living relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. A living relationship between God and that person. That's transformation. Religion. I'm satisfied. I've done enough. It's dead. Dead right in tracks. Turn with me to John 6:63. Transformation is a supernatural work of a living God through His supernatural word. John 6:63, Jesus explains His ministry. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That means makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There it is. The living Word of God. In a heart, in a life, made alive through the new birth. What does it produce? Transformation. Now, what's the picture here? I press toward the mark. I've not apprehended. I've not arrived. I'm pressing forward. Sanctification. Progressive, continual growth in Jesus Christ. Progressive, continual growth in Jesus Christ. Now, I think that's some young people really need to get this. That real salvation includes sanctification. There's no salvation without sanctification. There's growth. Continual growth. Going forward. It's real. It's a change that God is bringing into our life. Now think about it. We live in a day that a lot of the change is coming on the downward cycle of our culture. Where's the supernatural upward change brought about by the Spirit of God? That kind of change is hated by the world. And those people who are all concerned about fitting into the world, they want to avoid that. Because there's a big difference between Jesus and religion. There's a huge difference between Jesus and religion. My question is, what do you have? You have Jesus, or do you have religion? Big difference. The difference between the antagonism of the world and fitting into the world. That's the difference. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a distant rich relative, come from England, San Francisco, on a cruise. And I drove a 1959 Ford station wagon. That's how wealthy I was. And anyway, I can't believe it. But so this third or fourth cousin of mine came with her friend on this cruise. I mean, that's a long time ago, 1973 or 4, something like that. That's when cruises cost lots of money. And they came to San Francisco, and I thought, well, I want to be nice to them. So I took them on over to the Oakland side of the bay and let them drive on the hills of Oakland overlooking the bay and seeing all the lights of the city and as well as, thought they wouldn't be able to get that on, you know, the tour or whatever, and make their trip a little bit nicer. And so they appreciated it. And as a token of their appreciation, they offered me a bottle of whiskey. And I said I was sorry, but I would have to decline. You know, that thing went through my family. What a terrible person I was. That I would not receive that bottle of booze. You know? Sorry. My thinking was, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. I don't want to have anything to do with it. My unsaved family was, just fit into the world. Why make a big deal out of it? But you know, when the Word of God changes you, you're changed. That's just the way it is. And didn't fit into the world. But notice the context. Notice the results of this transformation. I want you to notice that. Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, this is the result. You know what? There's a result of this transformation. There is a result of this transformation. There is a result of not being conformed to this world. And the Bible tells us what the result is. The result is equipped for service. Equipped for service. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Equipped for service. It's saying it's the key to experiencing God's will for your life. This transformation that starts with a surrender. A surrender of our life. That is followed by sanctification. A transformation. The result is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being equipped for service. You know, forgive me for the illustration, but what it's saying is that when we grow, when we're transformed by the Word of God, and there is growth in our life that puts us in the place to do and to be in God's will. You know, people who stop growing have been missing the will, are missing the will of God, and they don't even know it. I can think of how the Lord did that in my life. I remember the day I surrendered my life to do God's will, whatever it was. That was a big day. I said, Lord, whatever you want with my life, here it is. I find it no surprise in my theological thinking that it was just about a month later, as I was reading my Bible, in 1 Corinthians 2. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Lord used those words from the Scripture to call me to preach. I was that kid that got an F minus in speech class. Not with demonstration of man's wisdom. I knew it was, that was me, but in power. God called me to preach. You know, wasn't it interesting? I made this big decision to surrender my life to God, and then boom, right after that, God leads me to make another decision. And you know, I made this decision, and it was a couple months later, about a month later, I met this Christian family, and the man happened to be the head deacon in the church, and I was a total ignoramus as far as the Bible, really, and church. But I met this godly man, and he said, "Ron, what are you going to do with your life?" And I says, "Well, I know I'm going to be full-time servant of the Lord." He says, "Well, then you need to go to Bible college." And I says, "What's that? Is there such a thing?" I didn't know there was such a thing as Bible college. And I prayed about it. I says, "Yeah, I guess that's what I need to do, go to Bible college." And make a long story short, I got to Bible college. And the girl I was dating said, "Forget you." And that's the week I met my wife, the lady was to be my wife. But what is the Bible picturing? The will of God is always forward. The will of God is a result of a transformation that takes place in our life. That transformation is a result of a surrender of our life to God as a Christian, Jesus Christ living in us, and us having a relationship with the Word of God, and in the Word of God, obeying God's Word. And as we obey God's Word, He leads us forward. And as He leads us forward, now we are in the Word of God continuously, and now He leads us forward again. And He, as we go forward, now we have the next situation where through the Word of God, we are faced with more challenges to go forward by faith. We discover we're in the will of God. You see, you'd ask a lot of Christians, are they in the will of God? You know what they'd say? I don't know. I don't know. If they're saved, the process stopped a long time ago. Many of them. The process stopped a long time ago. Process of transformation. Maybe it was before that, because a lot of Christians come to a place where, you know, I'm done. No more surrender. No more changes in my life. Maybe it's, I'm so busy I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm so busy in life I don't have time to meet with God. I don't have real devotions. Maybe it's, you know what, I'm so far from God. When I go to church, I don't ever hear God. You know, isn't it just interesting? The Pharisees, when they heard Jesus preach, they're always critiquing Him. They're always looking to something to critique. They didn't ever hear Him. A lot of Christians, that's where they're at. They're critiquers. They're not obeyers. You know, the big question today, transformation, that's normal Christianity. Normal Christianity is meeting the God of the Bible. Normal Christianity is the living truth of God converting our soul, because we are, darkness is dispelled with truth. The living God, Word of God, is live and is supernatural. It's changing our thinking. You see, Jesus versus religion. A lot of religion is being changed by the world. You take it, whatever it might be. I mean, you could go what the churches teach about divorce. They change with the world. Churches, what do they teach about apparel? It changes with the world. What do churches teach about music? Changes with the world. What about marriage? Oh, it changes with the world. You see, that's not Christianity. That's religion. Christianity described as this living relationship, Jesus Christ in us, alive, quickened, in the Word of God. The Word of God converting our soul. Being transformed as we obey it. And we're in the will of God. And we know it. And it's wonderful, isn't it? The will of God, good, perfect, and acceptable. What a contrast to religion. Dead. Steered by a winds of the world. A dead end life. Whereas the life of with Jesus Christ is living. It's forward. It's inward. It's real, supernatural. Now, if you caught it, a lot of it has to do with this book, doesn't it? A lot of it has to do with this book. In a Christian's life, the major decisions of a person's life are a result of truth. They received from His Word. The progression of their life is a continual progression because of the revelation of the Word of God illuminating the mind. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. A growing revelation. You know, my convictions as a Christian do not get weaker. You know, I was 1 year in the Lord when my girlfriend invited me to go to a movie house. And the movie was The Valley of the Dolls. It sounded worse than it was. But what this title said, I didn't want to go there. But she was the established Christian, been saved for a long time. And I gave in. And I went. I hated it. I hated being there. I hated every minute of it. I was 1 year older than the Lord. I knew very little bit about the Bible. But let me ask you a question. Do you think as I grew in my knowledge of the Bible, I should lessen my conviction that I had as a baby Christian, knowing the basics of right and wrong? No. A person's conviction ought to grow as they know the Bible more and as they know a holy God more and as they grow more. The problem is, a lot of people have religion today because their so-called convictions are becoming less and less and less. How can that be? That can't be. How can a baby in the Lord know that I shouldn't go there? How can it be someone gets old in the Lord and it's okay? You see, the Bible talks about transformation. The Bible talks about progressive sanctification. That means that we are continually growing in Christ. And that as we grow in the Lord, there ought to be more holiness, more Christ-likeness. I think today much of Christianity is backwards because the driving force is not God. It's not a living relationship with a living God. It's the deadness of some kind of religion. So here's the principles. Yielding. Feeding. Obeying. The filling of the Spirit. Growing. Being in the will of God. Simple truth. We can get off the track, can't we? We can get off the track. And then when we come to church, it's nothing more than religion. Just going through the motions. And probably, if I know people correctly, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. It's coming to church, critiquing, mocking, connecting with the world, because we've gotten off the course a long time ago. The big question is, of course, is have you ever gotten on the course of this real living relationship with a living God? That's what Christianity is. Jesus or religion. Transformation or an outward conformity to the world. Growing or deadness. Stagnation. The difference is found right here in the Word of God. A living God and a living relationship with a living God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today for a simple but great truth. Lord, we recognize that many times young people mimic their parents' religion but don't have their parents' relationship. They're doing the best they can to sort of conform, but at the same time conform to the world. Driving force is not there. Oh God, I pray that in your mercy you'd help that person that's here that has merely religion, but not a new birth. Oh, help them to see their need of real salvation. Lord, for that Christian today who's gotten off the track, they've left vital Christianity, and now they're just going through the motions. The growth, transformation, the miraculous work of God is in the recesses. And now, Lord, they question what really is God's will for their life. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we'd all examine our lives about a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, or if we're just going through some kind of motions. Lord, get us back into your word. Get us back into a living relationship with you, where your word is illuminating our soul. Your word is the truth that we need to lead us forward, to bring changes, as well as confession of sin. So, Lord, work in hearts, even as we put this together. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Spirit of God is working in your life. Those very thoughts of transformation are something that's been absent from your life for a long time. Maybe what's taking place in your life is merely outward, but it hasn't been that real inward work of the Spirit of God through His Word. Even outside influence, the world is taking precedence. But God spoke to your heart today about the difference. And you say, you know, I realize that I've gotten off the track as a Christian. I've gotten off the track. This whole idea of transformation in my life has been in the background. And God is speaking to your heart. And say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart today. Getting back to that real, vital relationship with Jesus Christ that brings continual change and upward manner. I need to get back into the Word of God daily. Get back to a place where I come to the church and I'm anxious to hear God's Word. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken in my heart today. Okay. Number of different hands. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Put this down. Amen. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I don't want religion. I want the real thing. I want to know Jesus Christ personally. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm not saved. I need to be. Just by an uplifted hand, would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you, okay? I see that hand. Good. Okay, you can put it down. Anyone else? You have religion or do you have Jesus? Lord, we rejoice that You're the living God. And I pray that, Lord, that now I pray for this one that acknowledges their need to be saved. And Lord, we know that they need You to work in their heart and to show them the ugliness of sin, the ugliness of this world, and all the so-called good, lovely sins of this world, might they see them as what they are. Might they see their own inability to change their own heart, but that they need a new heart, and that only Jesus Christ can save them. And I pray that You'd work in that life. And Lord, we pray for the people of God. Lord, those longing to have that daily, real, living relationship with You, I pray that You would encourage them today, give them that hunger, Lord, to meet You in Your Word, to be serious about walking with You. I pray, Lord, for others that didn't raise their hand, that it's obvious that they're just going through the motions. I pray for our young people that even this day would be a beginning of a work of God in their hearts. A working in which, Lord, those who are lost would realize they just have religion, and that those that are saved, Lord, would put Christ first and love Him foremost and that, Lord, you would be glorified. Now bless even an invitation today. However, Lord, you would so move in people's lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.